on your stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order. Intellectually petty radio on the stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order.
And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing. Men make moves and suckers stand still. And as always, on the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerd DJs Radio Network, y'all already know, man, we only rock with legends around here. And today is absolutely no exception. We got vocal coach, actress, I think, super just phenomenal voiceover, just ridiculously dope individual, one of the galaxy's best inventions. We got Elle Michelle. How you doing, Queen?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for the intro. Hey, that works for me.
That works for you. You'll take it.
It does.
All right. So I did inbox you the YouTube link too. So if you wanted to send that to anybody that we're live on currently.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I will.
And I'm sorry. How are you doing, Queen? How's your family?
I'm doing great. My family is phenomenal. My parents of being married 53 years are phenomenal. Wow. My son, who is in the military currently in Germany, phenomenal young man. Couldn't ask for a better blessing. I'm doing great. And I'm here doing my thing, living my life, working hard, and making some moves. And I'm great.
Yo, 50-something years.
Good Lord. Yes.
God bless them. I don't even like me enough.
I think that might be a personal problem.
It's definitely a personal problem. let me see. Voiceover, voice acting, master coach, vocal coach, educator, musician, actress, media, and keynote.
Absolutely.
I don't want to slight you of your greatness. So make sure we get everything out of there.
Thank you.
What is an acting master coach?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. So what that is not to say that I've mastered everything in the world, but I've developed a system of teaching that helps others master their voice capacity, their vocal aptitude, right? I take them from A to Z vocally, whether they're in voiceover, voice acting, which is really one and the same, but there's categories that people kind of branch off into, right? Whether it's a vocalist, a singer, or a multifaceted vocal person who does them all, like similar to people in Disney. I take them with what they have. I help to shape that. I help with the fundamentals all the way through to a mastery level of theirs, and then help them with their continuing education so they can stay relevant in the category of voiceover and voice acting and whatever else they would have to do with it, including public speakers, because a lot of times speakers, they don't understand the art and the science behind presenting and speaking and using their voice to the fullest capacity, right? And so that's what it is. I'm a master coach. There you go.
How the hell do I get that job? Not the coaching part, because I don't like people enough to be coaching, but to actually do like voiceovers.
Well, always you want to start with a coach, somebody who can teach you the fundamentals first. Mm-hmm. Because many times people will say, oh, you have a great voice. And then what? There's learning how to read. There's learning how to inflect. There's learning how to make yourself relatable to the audience. There's so many different elements that are entailed in that if you just go straight in and you get a script or something put in front of you, then you may probably be lost and not book a job. But a coach who has done it, been there, and help shape that, help you understand what you're going to, the wording, the industry, all of these things and help shape you and build you from there to help you master your craft and your particular voice and whatever your vocal strength is. And then also whatever your vocal desires are, because there's other genres and things that you can go to, like narration, animation, a promo trailer, all of those things.
Okay.
And start off with a coach.
Let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
What was life like for you growing up?
Ooh, I'm a country girl. So when I say that, I came from a town in Texas called Texarkana. I don't mind giving it out. I'm grateful for that city because it kept me, you know, pretty much guarded. I wasn't a part of the big city life. Mm-hmm. Around a lot of family. My dad, retired lieutenant colonel. I was a military brat. So things were pretty strict, but not so strict that I couldn't express myself and be and grow up. Very loving mother, wonderful supporting dad and mother, two older brothers, 5 and 6 years older than me. And I don't mind telling my age. I'm 46.
You're so baby.
Well, thank you. I'll take that too. I'll take that to anything. I feel like I tell people many times that my spirit is that of somebody in their 20s and 30s, but my soul is like my parents. I'm an old soul. Mm-hmm. So you'll see me doing my thing, whatever, and you'll feel the energy of my son's age. My son is 25. But then when it comes to wisdom and knowledge and doing whatever, you'll hear the old soul come out like, now this is what you need to do, you know? But growing up, absolutely country, little country town, not much going on, a mall, some restaurants and a couple hotels. But I grew up with a loving family. People used to call us the Huxtables because we enjoyed each other. I didn't have a lot of lady friends. I was mostly men were around. I had two older brothers, mostly uncles. All my cousins were males. And so the people that were in my generation, I was kind of like a tomboy, really. I grew up climbing trees, catching snakes and frogs and turtles. And
that's pretty gross.
No, it's hey, that is the life when you're out there and you got grass and trees and you're getting minnows and worms to go fishing with your parents. It's nothing. So I'm one of those. I'm not afraid of much. So I came up around a lot of guys. I learned a lot because of that. Mm-hmm. About how to deal with men and understanding men. And I'm when I tell you I'm grateful for that, it's priceless, priceless. I love it. So two older brothers, country girl. I can change some car tires. I do all that.
And speaking of the country, mm-hmm. Beyonce has entered the country music realm and has mm-hmm. caused a melee, a storm, you know. Well, you know, them folks don't like that. However, what I have found is that I didn't know that there was black people doing country music in today's society. And every mm-hmm. day I see somebody else and I'm like, wow, this song is pretty dope. Like I saw a young lady, Tanner Adele
is her name. Yes.
Oh my God.
Buckle Bunny. The song that she has in rotation right now, everybody's playing is Buckle Bunny. I'm on Buckle Bunny.
And I'm like, I have played that song probably 6 or 7 times already.
Oh really?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. That's amazing. It's a good one.
Do you think Beyonce is helping, hurting, or both?
She's absolutely helping. Let me tell you what, this is one of my favorite things to talk about right now, because what people don't understand, the history of country music as it is, from having the banjo and blackface being made fun of by in blackface of us stomping and playing a banjo and all of those things, right? Well, mm-hmm. that was our roots, our country music, the banjo, the sound and the tone and the timbre and the wailing of the voice and the crooners, as they call them now, right? That was us. But then somehow through time, it got shifted from, this is a part of who we are. We are the cowboys in the field singing, to now this is ours. And so many things in history have been like that. Oh, we like that. We're going to adopt that. Now it belongs to us, because at one point, you know, we weren't even considered human, right? So with Beyonce, to answer your question, with Beyonce, what's happened since Charlie Pride, right? Way back, Charlie mm-hmm. Pride was the first African-American to as we would say now, go viral and become popular and win awards and be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, all of these things. They were like, wow, this is me. You really can't sing. And people would make derogatory remarks like, I'm singing with this, you know, this, I won't say the word, and I like it and I don't mind it. Doggone it. And people would even ask him, well, how'd you get to singing like that? He was like, this is all I know. This is my voice. Why don't you sound like you're supposed to sound? How are we supposed to sound? So with Beyonce, from Charlie Pride to now, mm-hmm. what Beyonce is doing is reminding us of our versatility and who we are, our roots, part of who we've always been, right? Mm-hmm. Who we've always been. From different parts, from the West to the East to the South and on up as we migrated and took our gifts and talents, you know, elsewhere. We've always been this. Beyonce is from Houston, Texas. She is country. And for her to do what she did, she basically said, like one of my interviews that I did with Ashley Amber, amazing black country artist. Beyonce was like, well, y'all didn't accept me when I did Daddy Lessons with the Dixie Chicks. Y'all didn't accept me when I performed and did a monumental, unforgettable performance at the award shows. Well, y'all didn't accept it then. Y'all wouldn't play me. Well, I'll just do it on my own now. I am Beyonce. And in the quote of Ashley Amber from her interview, she said, well, I don't need you. I'm going to do this. And then it's opening a door for people, just like you said. We had no clue we're there. Black country music artists. So it's amazing. It's amazing. They're getting more streams. They're getting booked. So many from my Black Country Music page, by the way, that's now active. There's so many artists on the Black Country Music page on Instagram that you will be like amazed. So amazed. So she is definitely helping.
How come it took Beyonce for us to push us?
You know what? Going back to what you just said, we didn't know we were there. We didn't know the country artists were there because there's nobody else pushing us, right? Mm-hmm. The masses who are the predominantly, driven by mostly white people, mm-hmm. they're not pushing Black country artists. And if you don't see the push, you don't know they're there other than the wonderful Darius Rucker, when he came from Hootie and Blowfest to over to being a solo country artist.
And so, you know,
you just don't know.
We looked at him as a coon. We didn't look at him as a real Black person.
I don't know. I just think he's one of those, because I would say that viewpoint may be looked at by a whole lot of other people mm-hmm. with Black country artists because they don't understand it's a part of who they've always been.
Exactly.
I would say that. But so I wouldn't say he's that at all. It's just that he was the first to come back out like Charlie Pride. Oh, Charlie Pride, what is he doing singing that? That's for who? That's not us. Yes, it is. But when Darius came out, he's like, this is what I like. And then other people said, well, that's being a no, it's not. You just don't know our history. You just don't exactly. know this is who he's always been. And so that's not it.
That's generally us city folks, you know, up north.
Well, that does proximity and demographic and region. It does have a lot to do with that. It does. You're right.
And the whole Hootie and the Blowfish. Like when you see a Black mm-hmm. dude, especially back then, you see a Black dude. Like I'm from Detroit. In Detroit,
it was
99% Black. So I see a Black dude with a bunch of white dudes, I automatically think you done sold out. And it's like, that's not necessary. You know, as you grow, you mature, you realize that's not true. It's not necessarily true.
That's right. You know why, right? Who controls media? When the media is not controlled, the masses are controlled. It's not by African-Americans and now even BET. But when you see that the masses, the media is controlling and shaping the narrative, anything other than what we're programmed to believe, mm-hmm. we say, look at him. He just sold out. Nah, our history is rich in opera music. When I was coming up and learning classical and singing first soprano, Pia Hesu, that's not for us. What about Leontine? What about, wait a minute, it's not for us. Who told you that? Who told you that we were limited? That's my problem with all of it. When the mass media is controlled by people who control the narrative, then we believe we're less than what we've always been.
I think it's twofold.
Yeah.
I think it behooves the artists that are in those genres that we would mm-hmm. typically associate with our own
mm-hmm.
to reach back and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Like Leontine mm-hmm. Price, you know, like if mm-hmm. you're going back to the hood and doing opera, you might not get everybody, but you're going mm-hmm. to awaken people to the possibility.
That's right.
Like Misty Copeland.
That's right. Yes.
It's not too many people. It's not too many sisters yes. doing ballet. But I've seen yes. Misty Copeland go back, and I've seen little pictures of little black girls doing ballet mm-hmm. and realizing mm-hmm. that that's a possibility for success.
Yes, so much so. And that's important to going back. And to the media point, the media is not broadcasting that in large numbers. They're broadcasting Housewives of Atlanta. So that's where people like me and the young lady you just mentioned, Beyonce, saying, okay, I'm going to open this up for other people mm-hmm. to show up. And that way, you know what it looks like. You don't forget that we are limited. We're only rap. We're only house. You know, we're only this. We're only that. Like people want us to believe. You know, that's so important. So, yeah.
So what do you do besides voiceovers?
Okay. So voiceover and voice acting is so fun. And that was one of the things during the pandemic that I leaned into more so because we were all reaching, right? Mm-hmm. We were all reaching for connection. And there was an app, a social media app, where I met Snoop Dogg and Will.i.am, who we're doing a collaboration, the chief scientist of NASA. But right alongside that, simultaneously, I've always been a musician. I've always been an actress. My first degree of study was mass communications, television and radio broadcast production.
Okay.
And so I put all those things together to shape this whole beautiful thing, these things that I'm working on. So as far as music, I'm an endorsed professional saxophonist. I play flute, clarinet, and trombone as well. Really? And I'm a singer. Yes, absolutely. Check that out. There's a trombone sax back there.
I tried to play the flute when I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that was my old man's thing. He loved the flute. He just made me play the flute. So I'm up, mm-hmm. you know, what is this, third grade, and I had to do a performance. I'm on stage by myself.
Uh-oh.
And I had to play this particular, whatever you want to call it, twice. The first time, I'm like, yeah, woo. The second time, I started getting dizzy. I started getting winded.
Oh, you had some anxiety. You're about to pass out.
This shit went horrible.
You're about to pass out.
I never played the flute again.
Well, I'm going to help you feel better, okay? Here's a quick 10-second lesson. Flute is one of the hardest instruments to play because of the breath support, and you can pass out. So when you don't have it right and you're nervous, so to your credit, kudos, you did good getting through it once.
Oh, my God. But it really is a phenomenally beautiful instrument to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely is.
What's the most difficult instrument to learn?
To me, there's two. There's the flute because mm-hmm. of the breath support. Mm-hmm. Because like with a tuba or a brass instrument, like the trombone back there, you can play with bursts of air, like just bursts of air. Mm-hmm. But with the flute, it's a constant stream.
Yeah.
Or you won't have a sound. It's like you can't let up.
It's like whistling for the longest time.
Yes, yeah, yes. But then if your mouth position isn't right, it goes out of key, it won't come out. And so that's one of the things. And then the fingerings, the finger positions. Then the second to me are the three valve instruments like trumpet, because you have three fingers to create all these notes. And then you have to do your embouchure, which can be painful when you first learn it. I tried to play the trumpet. Let me tell you something. After coming off the flute and playing the trumpet in a show, live show, I was done. My mouth was swollen. It hurt. I was like, okay, I got it in the books. Check. I played it. I did it. Done. I'm going to let them have it. Because so, it was pretty painful, because when you don't have the armature, you're used to it. Mm-hmm. Like similar to what a guitar does with the calluses on their fingers. It hurts. So I would kudos to all three valve trumpet players and all that stuff, and baritone, whatever. Okay. Kudos.
And you roll really fast past the Snoop part. Like, oh. How'd you meet Snoop, and what you end up doing was for Snoop?
Okay, so that goes back to voiceover. During the pandemic, there's an app that really was doing well for itself, because people were like really digging for connection. All we had were our voices. We couldn't meet up. We couldn't network. We couldn't do all the traditional stuff, right? Couldn't live mm-hmm. audition. So on this app, I go in and there's chaos. People are like, what is this thing? And they start saying, who knows what we need to do? And there were large stages building because people wanted to be heard, seen, talk. And I just, all of a sudden, I came to one of the bigger stages in the very beginning stages. And I said, may I have your attention, please? May I have your attention? And I did this, you know, autumn AI voice. And they were like, what is that? Then I became known as the person who started the resets, right? Mm-hmm. Resets, doing voices. This message will be ending in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, all this kind of stuff. And so I'm doing all these things and I get known affectionately as the voice of Clubhouse, because it started a trend of moderation and resetting the room a certain particular way so everybody could understand the flow. Mm-hmm. So mixing that in, this is where it gets to the Snoop Dogg part. I would introduce myself. I would go, This is El Michelle, and there's nothing wrong with your ears. You have reached the voicemail box 4. And I would go through this, you know, please leave a message after the tone. Or English, press 1. Para el español, marque 2. I would do these different things.
And then I would talk like this and say, I'm only 5 years old, and my mommy says I'm supposed to be in the bed, but I don't want to go to sleep.
Oh so God. I would
do
all of that, and then I'd turn around and do this. Well, you know what? I'm really from Texas, and when I go down there, this is what everybody sounds like. Well, certain people sound like this, and I just start talking and doing different stuff, and then I go from that to Mary Poppins. Do a deer, a female deer, to opera. And that became a 60-second introduction that grabbed a lot of attention. And people call. So then all of a sudden people said, there's this lady that does this AI voice. Snoop Dogg comes on the app and everybody's like, oh my God, Snoop Dogg's on the app. El Michelle, come in this room. So I come in the room and I interrupted him talking. And I just said something like, hello there. And what is that? It's a troll. And they, what's going on? Who the F? And everybody's saying this. And they were like, no, it's a real person. And everybody just exploded saying, this is a real person. No, no, no. And then Snoop says, yo, Alexa, how do I get to the nearest Waffle House? And I go, it's located 3.5 miles from your location. And I did it in like a more of an AI voice. And then he started asking me other questions, right? And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. And I would start doing all that kind of stuff. And then he said, yo, I'm going to put you on my album. I have something I want to, I'm going to work with you. He asked for my phone number. And I gave it to him immediately on the stage. And then he goes, I'm going to connect with you. Blah, blah, blah. He follows me. And then 3 days mm-hmm. later, I get a call. Hey, Michelle, this is Snoop. They really call. And we have the best. When I tell you, I loved talking to him. It was so amazing. Like, people ask, was it fun working with him? I had fun talking to him. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so cool. He was so cool. And I say I'm a multi-hyphenate. That man is too. That man is definitely a multi-hyphenate. Like, he has his persona and all that, but that's a smart man. And when I tell you, we had the best conversation, it was amazing. It was amazing. So 3 days later, we're on the phone. And then after a while, he does another show or he pops up on the app again. Mm-hmm. And he's like, where's that woman at? Where's that lady at? Then he comes back on. He starts playing samples for the album. I send in my stuff. I did it remotely. And the next thing you know, there's a clip on my Instagram of him on the app saying, yo, you want to hear what you did on the album? You're going to like what I did with your voice. And then he tells a story about being driven by someone and hearing my voice sounding like the navigation. And when I tell you, he said, that ain't no navigate. That's not the navigation. That's the album, mother. Beep, keep driving. And because the man was confused. And oh, so you can hear the clip on my Instagram. And that was him talking about the work. And what's amazing, this happened before the voice of AI, you know, the official voice of AI generated voices. So it gives validity, a major endorsement to credit of what the human voice can do. And it was just amazing. So that's how it happened. People called me up, said, hey, come in here. He was like, what is this? What's happening? I'm going to use you. I want you to help build this musical house. I want you to help navigate people to this musical house. So I wrote some things, some little snippets to put on the album. He said, I'm using that on my album. I said, okay. And then I'm the last voice you hear on Snoop Dogg's Algorithm album. You hear me all through. And then the last voice you hear is, thank you for using Sarquinta. And, you know, you hear the navigation voice, and that's me.
Oh, man, I'm tough. So do you actually, like, I know on my navigation, you can change the voice.
Oh, okay. What they've done now is they're generating voices now. That's why I said this work with him came before the AI phenomenon and them trying to modify voices. I interviewed Susan Bennett not too long ago. Susan Bennett is the original voice of Siri, and she's also the original voice of a lot of the navigations that you hear in these Garmins and stuff like that. They actually use a voice. What they do is called concatenation. It's all a fancy word or whatever. And they take your voice. They take your voice pattern after you've read all this random stuff, right? And they take your voice and then they insert it into programming that allows them to have unlimited sounds. And so now all they do have to do now is like a text to speech. You type it, you have the AI generated voices, and you can upload different sounds and stuff like that for those particular things. So, yeah, so that's a thing. But Susan Bennett was one of the originals for that, for all of those albums.
So is it like when you do a TV show, you get paid, every time? Well, it depends on how, like, if the show lasts for 5 years and they start doing reruns, you get a check every time they play the reruns. Is it the same thing?
Sometimes. It depends. There's contract jobs. Mm-hmm. There's buyouts for your voice. And then there's royalties, too. And so the royalties is what you talk about. And sometimes, but unfortunately, she did not get paid for that particular thing when they used her for Siri. This is why. Yeah. This is why. Because there was a company, and she talks about it, and I'll be posting that interview soon. She talks about it, but once you work with a particular company and they've got your voice pattern and they do a buyout, then they can do what they want with it. But when they started doing the Apple commercials, when we did our interview and I was talking to her, because she's a friend of mine now, she's a wonderful lady. When they started doing the Apple iPhone commercials, they didn't contract for that. So she got, that took care of it. Up until a certain point.
I don't compare to Siri, though.
Well, that's happened to so many people, though, that didn't understand use of likeness. There's so many things. So that's why we have to be careful now with the use of likeness and stuff like that. But yeah.
And AI is making, I see people celebrating AI and I just don't get it. It's like you're celebrating your demise. Because at some point, Hollywood yeah, itself is really just going to be like music, TV, all of that. It's just going to be some AI derivative.
There's still hope. This is why I say it, because honestly, okay, I'll reference the pandemic and use this for a major example, right? Although we have these different things that are happening that you can do with AI, when you ultimately separate people, seriously, when you tell people we don't need you for this, we don't need you for that, what happens when you do that? They fight to get back to what? Human. They fight to get back to, I don't care. When those doors open back up, what happened? People were everywhere. And I liken that to the same thing with AI. Work with it, but I don't fully think it will take over everything because you cannot match the human spirit. You can't match that. You can't take right now anyway, I think we're years away from that. You can match it, you can mimic, you can do all these things, but there's a difference between reading something like this. And the story went like this. And 1, 2, 3, ABC. Oh my God, it's amazing. And somebody going, you know what? We're having a conversation. There's a big difference. And so when you put actors and AI and you try to compare it right now, I don't think we're there yet, but it is something. There was a radio host. I can't remember her name, but she literally programmed. She was the first to do it. And she literally used a live AI version of herself and was like, look, here's the AI version of me. And I was like, just like you said, you're celebrating your demise because you just proved your job is not worth much.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Excuse my brother. That's just dumb.
Well, I mean, it is. That's what it. And she was like, oh, they got the AI Tammy. I don't remember her name. And it went viral for a second. But they have an AI Tammy. So jobs, there's certain jobs, I believe, that will replace people. But there's something about the human spirit. There's something definite about us interacting in the give and the exchange of energy that AI cannot duplicate. So I believe it may dominate certain spaces for a while, but as human nature, as law, as evolution has it, we will get back to what we know is fact. We need each other. We need that life. We need that exchange. And you can't do that with AI.
Bruce Willis made a movie some years ago. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the name of the movie was. But basically, and this was the whole, just everybody, this was just the whole population had robots that did everything for them. And I don't mean just a little
bit. Bruce
Willis? Yep.
Was it a Bruce Willis?
It was Bruce Willis. And you would sit at home in this chair and you would have a robot go to work.
Surrogates.
Go on dates.
Was it surrogates?
I can't remember the name of it, but I'm telling you, like, and everybody was just overweight and just sloppy looking and disgusting looking at home.
Yeah.
And the robot version was immaculate. But I could see that happening.
Well, it's kind of happening now with working from home. That tells you that AI is not completely all the way new, to be honest. It's not.
I never thought about that.
It's not, but it's just being made accessible by more people who are in the normal day-to-day things. Because you've got mail. You've got mail. That was somebody's voice taken from AOL. You know how long ago that was? They programmed it in AOL. When you fly airplanes and you're on autopilot, that's AI. So it's not very new. So it's already happening. So the fact that it's just easily accessible now, it can compound a problem because what do? We work from home. We don't get up. If we don't put a treadmill in front of our computer, we're sitting still and we're eating. So it just compounds the problem. I'm in agreement because that movie, I might go back and watch that movie because that's a good one. I think that was Surrogates. It's called Surrogates. Yeah.
I'm going to have to. It was that
I
one.
I think that's what it was.
It was another movie too, where
iRobot, Will Smith, iRobot.
That was a crazy one, but it was a movie where people would pay to have a clone, and they kept all the clones on this island, and all the clones like they had never seen anything outside this island.
Okay.
So, When their host or their parent or whoever purchased them needed a liver or a kidney or whatever, they would tell them they won the lottery. And this clone thought they were going off to submit some fantastic shit. And they really was going to get murked.
Oh. That sounds good. It sounds like it's something I want to write. That's scary, though. So that gets into a whole nother thing. That gets into the the cloning thing, and then transferring your intelligence to somebody else through artificial intelligence, and that gets on a whole nother subject.
I'm not sure how we got here. I'm sorry.
Because we talked about my AI voice. It's okay. It's okay. I'm a sci-fi. I love sci-fi, and I love technology. That's good. We're good.
So are you okay? Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Why?
Because with Star Trek, it wasn't as far-fetched to me. I have a tendency to lean into sci-fi that could be our reality in coming years. Like, but when you see things like a Jabberwocky, Jabba the Hutt, and you know, stuff like that, I'm thinking, and then you see these things going, hur, 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 and you're riding these weird horses. I'm going, but Star Trek, you know, and then you hear, Chewbacca. I'm like, nah, we're not doing that. But so that's why. So Star Trek, think about it. Check this out. You asked a question. You remember the Jetsons?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kids were going to school on video in the Jetsons. Where are we now?
Going to school
on video. They were on hoverboards in the Jetsons. What did we have not too long ago? Hoverboards. Then they had Rosie, a robot that vacuumed. Now we have a Roomba. See, that's not far-fetched.
Mm-mm.
See what I'm saying? So that's why Star Trek for me now, interesting fact. You want a fun fact?
Go ahead.
Okay, here's a fun fact. Here's my little geek coming out. Chewbacca. There is, and I'm going to send it to you. And for those of you listening, check this out. There's Chewbacca is a hairy thing. You say, oh, that's not a real person or a real being, right? So the only thing that I give credit for Star Wars for is that, because there's something called hypertrichosis, Wolfman syndrome, where people grow hair completely all over their bodies, including their face.
Oh.
And when you look up, I'm going to send it to you. When you see it, you're going to be like, whoa. So just imagine some people. There's people that are married, living right now with this condition, hair completely covering their face, right? They look like Chewbacca. They look just like that.
How do you pull somebody looking like Chewbacca, though?
I don't know, but I don't know. I don't. It's what's in the heart that counts. That's what it is. It's what's in the heart, and they're beautiful. I don't know. Don't get me trapped in no question like that.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I ain't never walked up to nobody's heart.
Stop it. But maybe to them, I mean. We're in a society now, we're in a world now that everybody can find love. You know, there's no, you know, I'm saying this, you know.
Yeah, nowadays, yeah, you know, I let me stop for this, for the Yank My Channel. I'll shut up.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want my interview taken down because I believe love is love. I do though.
Some of these motherfuckers crazy though. Like,
stop.
I seen some lady that, what did she marry? A hologram.
That's mental illness. That's mental illness, though. I don't care. I don't care. That's just that. I don't think when you start to normalize something that used to be labeled as abnormal, and just celebrating it, and I don't know. I don't know what much to say about that one, because I can't marry. I saw the hologram. I saw also the robot doll. I saw a couple others that did that. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and this dude's out here spending $20,000 for a doll.
You know what? I don't know nothing about that, but if they got it, I guess they don't have the headache of arguing with anybody. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
How did you say that? So what's next for you?
What's next? There are a few things. I never put anything down, but there are seasons to things, to everything. Mm-hmm. And right now I still lean into everything voice. That's podcasting. That's teaching it. That's performing it. Right now, a couple of my focuses are just L. Michelle as the voiceover coach and artist. And then going into helping celebrate others and what they're doing with their voice and highlighting those people. And then because of what's going on with country music, what's happening right now is I started the Black Country Music page on IG, on TikTok, and all these other places because it feels like home to me. Mm-hmm. It feels like home. I, like I said before, circling back, I'm from Texas. This was my upbringing. I heard, you know, the blues. Ray Charles talks about how all of it is intertwined, the minor chords and the feel and the storytelling. And because of what's happening right now, I'm leaning into that a whole lot because it feels like who I am and a part of who I am. I sing, R&B, I sing jazz, I sing opera. But that thing, to bring said light to that thing, that country, that Southern soul, all of these things, the bluegrass, all of these things that we do that came from part of who I am, rooted who I am, I'm leaning into that a whole lot. And with the power of teaching through that and using that platform, I'll be continuing to offer courses for voiceover for people who want to expand their vocal aptitude from a vocalist to speakers to voiceover artists, because there's a science to it to help you really push and hone into your craft and being able to express yourself and get on those stages and do the things that you love. And I love helping people do that so much.
What did you say that Instagram was? I'm sorry. I'm trying to look it up now so I can follow it.
Okay. Black Country Music.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Black Country Music. And I just love it. So if you check out some of the artists on there, follow them, comment on their post on that page. It's just amazing to me that we're able to come and see who, a lot more of who we are as a culture.
Give me a couple people that I should be looking out for in Black Country.
Oh, I love this. One, the duo. It's the first Black mother-daughter country duo. Never seen it. And the mother, amazing vocalist. The daughter, amazing vocalist. Their energy, amazing. They have one song called Hold Down. And I don't know how much I rock that song. and it's a twist. It's a twist to the story because she talks about you're touching what's mine, and the hold down is, you know, go dancing and you know what a hold down traditionally is. But the twist is, hey, you're touching what's mine. I'm gonna throw myself a down.
Wow.
And the mom, the writing is clever, the performance is amazing, and they have so many other songs. I literally listen to all their songs, no skips. Tanner Dale, you mentioned her earlier. Ashley Amber, the one I interviewed. She has done so much. She has a beautiful tone, her energy. She gives you full production. Ashley Amber is phenomenal. Some of the males. There's Freddie JP, YP Freddie. There is Willie Jones. There's so many. Of course, I'm trying to pick who to say, because if I go down the whole list, I'm going to name about 100 right now. I'm going to name about 100.
Really?
Because we didn't even know. Yeah, we didn't even know they were there until the light came on. It was like flick. Here you go. The light's on you. Go. There's so many.
Black people are so dope.
Come on. Can you wait? Say that one more time.
Black people are so dope.
Thank you for saying that. I want us to all remember that. That's one of my takeaways for everything I say. We don't understand that we are the driving force for so many things in history, in the now, for the future. We set trends, our buying power, everything, our talent, our creativity, our intelligence. I mean, I think we forget that. And we lean into other people too much to validate us. But if we remember that by showing up for each other, man, the things we can do.
Which is crazy because we are cool. We've always defined cool in this country. And
always.
And extrapolate that to the planet. Because if we say it's cool here, in Timbuktu, somebody has got a shirt.
Yeah. Who's my God.
Who is Dax?
Dax. Oh, my God. So Dax, what I love about him, he has a message and a story. And one of his songs, some of the lyrics says, I never seen God's eyes, but I seen the devil's. He walks with men on earth on many levels. And what he's talking about is we got to stay steadfast and pay attention to what's going on around us or we'll be overtaken. Like you look at what's around us. Check this stuff out. And when I tell you his energy that he gives, his performance, his sound, the lyrics, mm-hmm. I think Darius Rucker really, he's worked with him before and endorses him as well. But when I tell you his message, his energy, what he gives in all of that, top notch. I love him. He's out there. He's not holding back anything with his performances and what he gives at all.
You know what I need? I need a really like revolutionary pro-black country artist. Somebody that is talking about niggas getting lynched and Black Wall Street and Tulsa and really giving it to their ass. Since they don't want us doing it anyway, give it to them. Just, I'm sorry, folks.
You know, don't apologize. Because what happens is we have many, many allies. But as a whole, we know the narrative, right? Yeah. Like you just spoke about. So with Black country music, I want to shed light on all of these artists. And as they evolve and as they go out, the ones who have it in them to take a stand and say, look, this is who we've always been. And let's not ignore what's happened to us before. Let's not ignore that. Let's change this and make it known and not erase history mm-hmm. and not pretend. But at the same time, let's celebrate what we are and what we're doing now. I want to see that.
But I want to thank you for doing the groundwork for these artists that may not even know that you're doing the groundwork for them.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Nobody, I appreciate that.
If nobody has told you today, I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. There's so many things to come from El Michelle, my own personal, to supporting these other amazing people along the way through my voice and presentation or whatever they need. Yes, absolutely.
What's the name of the podcast?
It's a secret right now. I haven't released the name.
Really?
I haven't posted it up. I haven't released the name yet. But I will say this, if you follow El Michelle at L-M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E McCrae, M-C-C-R-A-Y on Instagram, you'll see it soon.
Can you do me one favor? Can you just give me an intellectually petty radio plug in that voice? I just really need that.
And which voice do you want?
The AI just really just... That voice you just had.
Okay.
I don't care what you say.
Let me lean in. Let me lean in. You're listening to Intellectually Petty Radio. How about that?
Yeah, I'm going to have to submit. Definitely going to use that. I ain't got no money to be paying you in perpetuity, but you know, if somehow, you know, well, actually, you know what, things have been going pretty good lately.
Look, remember.
I definitely got you. If people do want to hire you, how they go about getting in contact with you?
Right now, you can email me at L-M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. M-C-C-R-A-Y @lmichelle@gmail.com. You can definitely go to Instagram, my Instagram page, and just drop a direct message and we can set up a discovery calls if they want to hire me, whether they want coaching. It's not really hard. I provide all the information through one of those two sources, my email address @gmail.com, lmichellemcrae@gmail.com, or Instagram direct messages. Pretty simple, straightforward. You get everything you need, all your questions answered, and we can set up a discovery call and get rolling.
And what is it about the saxophone that you love?
Now, this is a good question. Let me tell you. Oh, my gosh. So you're talking to an introvert. Am I shy? Not at all. I'm not shy. Introvert just means I don't have to have the spotlight. I need to have my time, my space, my peace, my quiet once I come off stage. I'm not the life of the party for the long term, short burst, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened with the saxophone is I once was shy, very introverted to the point of anxiety. When I tell you I couldn't hardly open my mouth, right, in front of people, I would get frustrated because I knew I had something to offer, but I was just there. I was scared. I had anxiety. I would panic. Then my voice would lock up. I cracked. So I just said, forget it. So the saxophone, if you notice and you listened over the years, can express every human emotion flawlessly. You get romance, you get joy, you get funk, you get the blues. So I was able to hide behind that thing and express myself musically because, of course, I was a musician already. I started years with flute and then ended up in saxophone and the others. But I could express myself. It was an extension of my voice. Mm. So if I felt a certain way, I could say, I could play Anita Baker. If somebody booked me somewhere, I could play Maceo Parker and jam and dance across the stage. And I could give my energy through that without opening my mouth. And that's in my book, actually. I talk about this in my book, so that's something to come to. It talks about my journey to voice and how I started. And saxophone was one of those things because you know why? I can't get on stage and do a show and not say anything to anybody.
Wait a minute, did you say a book? So,
yes.
Jesus Christ, what haven't you done?
Well, the book, it started when I was in mass communications taking my courses and they were like, we need to know who you are. So you have to present this. You need to bring something, show something. And I said, dang, what can I do to get over this and get through it? And I brought that and it helped me tell my story. And then I realized there was more to my story, not using my voice, being, pushed to the side, overlooked, to come and becoming this person who ultimately uses her voice from everything, from hiding behind that to the forefront. And so that saxophone, it spoke for me for a long time. And I became endorsed, professionally endorsed with three companies and all of that. But it spoke for me. But because of that saxophone, the interesting thing is I learned to speak and come from behind it because I had to start presenting and tell my story. How did you learn how to play? And then I was like, oh, now I got to talk. Oh, my God. I got to talk. People keep asking me these questions. And so it was something that was twofold. It ended up being a crutch that turned into a powerful tool to get me to use my voice to teach, to keynote speak, to write, to show up. It helped me show up. Mm. So I could sing it and then play it. That's how I learned. I'm self-taught on saxophone. So if I sung it, I played it. Sung it, played it. Amazing marriage for it. That's it.
What's the name of the book?
Self-taught. I haven't released it. I know I keep saying that. But before I
killing me.
but the thing is, I love you so much. This is so fun. But the reason before I get some of the copyright stuff done, I didn't copyright the actual title.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not published. So
understood.
That's it. That's it for the right. Yeah, so now you understood. So don't be so hard on me, okay? I do feel that I have some more accountability here. I get it. So don't be too hard on me.
Well, when you do, let me know. And if there's anything I can do to help, I absolutely got you.
You will be one of the absolute first to know. That is for sure. That is for sure. And I never forget what I say. You'll be one of the first to know.
Well, I had a lot of people come on here and just straight up lie to me, so I don't know.
Oh, that's not me. Watch. You'll see.
I'd have at least 1,000 shirts alone, let alone tickets to shit and a new car. Oh, people get on the podcast and tell you all type of stuff, man. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. I had somebody invite me to the studio. I tried to call their ass, and the number was disconnected.
What? Wait a I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard.
People get on here and it's like they just, you know.
I'm sorry. I laughed a little too hard that time, but yeah, I've had those promises. I've had those promises too. Trust me, that's why I'm laughing right along with you.
Oh my God.
I've had those.
This has been a phenomenal conversation, and I have to thank you tremendously. This is just, I needed this.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this. I'm telling you right now, it's so fun. Amazing time. I've had an amazing time on here. Seriously.
Well, I appreciate that. And anybody out there, if you tuned in, please make sure you at least subscribe to the YouTube channel. That would be awesome. And don't subscribe and then unsubscribe. That's just weak. I hate when people do that.
That would be really frustrating. I agree.
Oh, man. Because if I see you, I'm going to kick you. At least trip you.
Oh, God. Not the violence. Not the violence.
Well, I don't know if that's technically, you know, it's like violence, like, you know, it's not full on, like, I'm going to fight you. But I'm going to upset your
well,
day.
Well, I don't
bit.
Know. I don't know about that. I don't know.
I can't possibly thank you enough. This has been beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And wait, let me do it. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Don't forget to follow at L. Michelle McCray on Instagram. And Black Country Music. You see, I didn't even have to lean in, but I did that for dramatics.
This is just dramatic effect. I do that sometimes.
Yes.
Although I don't have that voice like that. This is all I got. You know. I've never really tried to do that. So, you know, now I'm being in the mirror tonight. Look, you know, hello, this is Joseph. Blah, 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 blah.
You did the lean in,
right,
too.
Right, I'm going to do the lean in. I'm
oh,
sorry.
My gosh.
On that note, let me get out of here. I'm going to let you go. I know you got things to do. You got a much busier life than that. Is that, what type of picture is that, a guitar? Oh, my God.
That's a guitar. And then there, you can't see the drum set one right next to it. Can't see that one right next to it. Let's see. I can't move it. Nope.
Oh, that is beautiful, though.
Yes, thank you. Oh. And the saxophone and trombone and all that good stuff back there.
It's a cowboy boots too? Oh, wow.
Yes, I am a country girl. I have several pairs. It's not a trend for me. I told you, fishing, gardens, watermelon festival. But
it's like eclectic, but it all goes together.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that is beautiful. It must be for the podcast. You can't tell me, though.
No. Now, come on. No, those, I've had those since 2017.
I'm talking actually. About the whole background, though.
Oh, no, that's my normal. That's normal. And it just happens to work.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would use
that's
that.
My normal. This is my studio room that I'm in. So, yeah.
You got a studio room. Ooh.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
Y'all. What have I gotten myself into? No, I'm playing.
All right. Let me get out of here. I got to work in the morning and, you know, it's peak old man hours. My eyelids are calling me.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well,
this has been
beautiful. It's been fun. Yeah, it's been absolutely fun.
You know how to get in touch with me. You got my Instagram. If you need anything,
I do.
Let me know. I got you.
And I'm going to send you those pictures of the people.
I would greatly appreciate that, too. I'm definitely going to check out the page too, the Black Country Music page.
Thank you.
Because I'm going to check out some of those artists.
Absolutely. And if I encourage if you see them, hashtag Black Country Music at Black Country Music, because I want to be able to highlight them and help them show up even more. When all of the, you know, shiny object, oh my God, they're here, and things start to, you know, normalize, I want to keep them there. I want to keep them highlighted.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm with you on that. If I can, you know, send them my way if they want to do something. I got you.
All right.
You have a good one, Queen.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yo, that was pretty dope. Actually, it was very dope. She's just a phenomenal individual and a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spirit. Man, just food for the soul right there. And who do we have next week? We have Randy B coming on at 7 o'clock. And then we also have B. Amici, who is 19 Keys manager, coming on at 5 o'clock. You already know, man, this is Jobs. This has been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. What you do get you on the show is your story that makes you stand out. Y'all have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day on purpose, and I'm out.